Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And Father, you know the needs of everybody in this room and those that aren't here this morning, Lord. We lift up Tom and Sharon to you. We lift up Brooke's family and the little family, Lord, as they're hurting right now, as there's pain in their heart of losing loved ones. Father, I pray that for everybody here this morning that there'd be renewal, there'd be refreshing, that our eyes would be open to you being with us, and that we would listen to your guiding Spirit, your Holy Spirit. May you have free reign in here now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So this week what I want to talk about is who is going with you? You know, 2 weeks ago I talked about the narrow road and that we should all be on the narrow road. Hopefully you're on the narrow road. And last week I talked about how God is there for us, that we should cast our cares upon the Lord, and that how the world's going to hate you. You're going to go through difficulties. You're going to go through hard times. If you're on that narrow road, you're going to go through difficulty. You're going to go through hard times, where God's there to cast our cares upon Him. And so today I want to talk about being on that narrow road, that Jesus is with us. He says that He won't leave us. He won't forsake us. And so that's where I kind of want to go. In John 14, verse 15 through 18, he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So Jesus is saying, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to give you a counselor. I'm going to give you someone to be there with you, to guide and direct you, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And that's the part that I really wanted to concentrate on for a moment, is that He says He's not going to leave us as orphans. He's going to be there with us to guide us and direct us. When you're on that narrow road, when you're going through hurts, when you're going through trials, He says, I will be there with you. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked," or I'm sorry, "you were marked," I can't read my own writing, "having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guarantee, our inheritance, until the redemption of those who are God's possessions, to praise of His glory." He says that I've sealed you with the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, a deposit guarantee. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." So y'all's getting the picture of what I'm saying here. The Holy Spirit is with us this morning. I heard this study this week and I could not find it to back it up. So I hate quoting stuff that I can't back up myself. But this study supposedly said that born-again believing Christians, 62% of them don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Y'all, there's something wrong in our churches today. The Holy Spirit is plainly talked about in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is here to be with you and me as children of God, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." The Holy Spirit is here in us this morning. And so I was thinking about that. Our body is a temple. We were bought with a price. The Holy Spirit's here with us. So if we're walking down that narrow road and we hear God's promise that He'll never leave us, that He'll never forsake us, and when you're going through trials, when you're going through tough times, this is good news, right? The Holy Spirit's with me. But then I got to thinking, the Holy Spirit's always with me. Where am I taking the Holy Spirit? What am I watching that the Holy Spirit's watching? What am I participating in? And the Holy Spirit's there. In the break room at work, when I'm watching television, in my bedroom, when I'm by myself. It's comforting to say the Holy Spirit is with us all the time when you're going through trials, when you're going through struggles, when you're going through hardships. But what about when life's good? What about when you say, okay, everything's great, my family's healthy, my job's good, life's good. And so, we're tempted here and we're led astray there and we're following after the flesh in this area. Did we forget that the Holy Spirit's with us? That the Holy Spirit is still there? And wherever we're going, the Holy Spirit is there. And so what we're watching, what we're seeing, what we're participating in, what we're saying, the jokes that we're laughing about, the things that's going on around us. Oh, it's great news to know when the Holy Spirit's there, when I'm sick, when I'm hurting, when I've lost a loved one. But what about when I want to relax? What about when I want to hang out with the guys, hang out with the girls? What about when I want to talk about so-and-so? You know, it's so easy, it seems like, in different areas of our lives to jump in with the crowd. But when we're jumping in with the crowd, we're taking the Holy Spirit with us. Ephesians 4, 22 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." That's what the Holy Spirit's there to help us with, to put off the old self, to put on the new, in new righteousness, in a new life. "Therefore, each of you should put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." You know, I think many of us, we pray and we ask God for deliverance. We pray and we ask God to help us through these situations, through these things in our lives. But we're still letting the devil get a foothold in our life. We're still letting the devil in our anger, in our lies. Verse 28 says, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So I shared with y'all just a minute last week about my impatience and work and the struggles I was having and I struggle. I do. I don't want to, but I do. I struggle sometimes. And this week, I think it was Wednesday night, someone asked me, said, "Well, was work any better this week?" And I said, "Well, not really, but my attitude is getting right." See, you know, sometimes we can't change what others are doing, but our attitude can get better. But in saying all that, you know, I was asked directly about a situation at work, and I just, and then I walked away, and I'd said everything that was going on, I thought, and then I was reminded of some other things that weren't right at work, and I started to go back and tell him some of the other things that wasn't right, and it was like the Lord said, "Stop, Pete. You're talking bad about someone. How's that helping?" And y'all, I'm not lying. It was a battle for over an hour. Do I finish or not? Do I tell him or do I not? It was truthful. I wasn't lying. But it wasn't building anybody up. It was tearing them down. It was telling everything that was wrong. And there was a battle going on inside of me. And I won that time. And then the next day I had another opportunity to spew some more. and I won't win that time. But y'all, we got to think and we got to remember the Holy Spirit's with me. The Holy Spirit's guiding me. The Holy Spirit was saying, shut it, Pete! Quit talking that way! But how often do I blow it? And I say, Holy Spirit, I don't need you at this moment. Now, I might not actually say that, but my actions say that. I can handle this. You don't know what that guy did to me. You don't know what that lady said to me. You don't know about this situation. You don't know how they hurt me. You expect me to forgive them? You expect me to not be angry about that? You expect me to not be bitter? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, that's the part that I really wanted to get to, was about grieving the Holy Spirit. We could spend weeks studying the Holy Spirit. And there's different denominations have different interpretations of what the Holy Spirit does, how the Holy Spirit's manifested. But the reality is, the Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit when we become a child of God. The reality is that the Holy Spirit is there with us so that we're not left as orphans. And so the reality is that some of us, we ask for deliverance. We wonder why we have no peace, why we have no joy, why we're not bearing good fruit. Why? Well, have we ever stopped to say, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit in the words that I speak at work, and the television programs I watch at home, and even the thoughts that I have of anger and bitterness, and not telling the truth, it says, put off falsehood, speak truthfully. John 16:13 says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell what is yet to come. So have you been lying? You know, it's funny how it's really not that way anymore, but I remember it being a common practice. I don't really remember it being so much of a common practice at my house, but when some of y'all don't realize, when I was growing up, we didn't have cell phones. You didn't have a cell phone. You couldn't just, you didn't have something with you 24/7, and when someone called your number, they got you directly. So what we had was a phone in our house, and it had this thing called a dial tone and everything. But when someone would call, you didn't know who was calling. You didn't know who was calling. And I remember times it happening. I don't remember it happening much, but I mean, it was talked about, and all of y'all can probably relate to this, when your mom or dad was sitting there and they'd say, who is? I'm not home. Y'all ever have that happen? I'm not home right now. Tell him I'm not home. It's a little white lie, isn't it? Doesn't hurt nobody. But what are we training ourselves in? Little white lies lead to bigger lies, lead to bigger lies. And we say it's okay, and it's okay, and it's okay. And then, but the Holy Spirit's supposed to guide us into all truth. And so if we're guided in truth, but then we're telling little white lies to our family, to our friends, to our spouses, to our kids, to our coworkers, we're not guided in all truth. We're grieving the Holy Spirit. Y'all, we could go through each and every one of these things, and maybe you're not a liar. Maybe you don't tell little white lies, but maybe you're full of the bitterness. Maybe you're full of the anger. Maybe there's some kind of unforgiveness in your heart towards someone that hurt you years ago. I don't know, but I think for many of us, we're not functioning properly as children of God because we're grieving the Holy Spirit. I'm not pointing fingers at you because I know what's happening in my own life. The times that I know God's saying, hold up, wait. Don't watch that. Don't listen to that. Don't say that. And I say it, and I watch it. I listen to it. And it just, and the Holy Spirit saying, I've warned you. I'm trying to guide and direct you to be kind and compassionate, to be forgiving, to love, just as God forgave you. But the Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. How many of us are living our lives full of truth in every area? Not manipulating people, not guiding, not trying to change the circumstances to fit us. You know when you're trying to manipulate people, a lot of times they know it. I felt like this week I was being manipulated by somebody, and I could read it from a mile away. But it's okay. I'm not mad at the person, and if they need me, I'll be there. But it's like, why do we lie? Why don't we just be truthful? Hey, I need this. Hey, I need help here. Hey, could you help me? Instead of telling this big long story, this big long lie to try and manipulate things, we're not living by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:15 says, be very careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Are we living each day as wise servants of the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, making the most of every opportunity? Verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, so how exactly are we filled with the Spirit? And I feel like I could have went really long with this part. But in Luke 11:9. Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, find. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. So I'm thinking, I need to ask, I need to seek, I need to knock. Verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask, seek, knock. I don't know about y'all, but I can't do it. No matter how hard I try, I can't. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, I can. I've failed one moment this week, and then the next moment, the Holy Spirit saying, stop, Pete, stop. Okay. As hard as it was, because my flesh was saying, talk bad, slander, he deserves it. The Holy Spirit says, stop. Are we asking? Are we seeking? Our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts. But I wonder if some of us, we really don't want to give up that little pet sin, that little secret. So we're grieving the Holy Spirit, and we're not walking in victory, and we're walking in defeat. Galatians 5:16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You struggle with the sinful nature as I do? We begin to live by the Spirit, and we're not going to gratify that nature anymore. That whatever it is in your life, that lie, that lying habit, that lustful habit, that slander, that gossip, that gluttony, whatever it is, when we begin to say, I'm not going to satisfy that anymore. I'm going to live by the Spirit. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Have any of you ever felt that? If you've never felt it, and maybe you need to ask Jesus Christ to come and save you, because I've felt it. I've felt in my heart. I've felt in my life that battle going on, that struggle. What am I going to give into? What am I going to feed? What am I going to submit to? The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's easy to point out that person that's maybe a thief, that person that's an out and out liar, that person that's a murderer, and say, I'm not like them, but are you full of jealousy? Are you full of fits of rage? Do you can't control your Is there a selfish ambition inside of you that you want to get ahead no matter who you hurt? That your desires, your wants matter more than anyone else? It says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. That's what the Word of God says. That those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Have you crucified the sinful nature in your life? Have you said enough? And begin to live by the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm trying to figure this out. I really am. But I believe that God's trying to tell me, and maybe this message is just for me, that you need to begin to utilize the Holy Spirit more in your life. I didn't leave you as an orphan. I sealed you with the Holy Spirit so He can guide, so He can direct you, so that you don't have to give in to that sin anymore, that you don't have to give in to that sinful desires anymore. But you know what, Pete? That means you're going to have to stop grieving Him. That means when He says, don't turn on the television, open up your Bible, you open up the Bible and you don't turn on the television. That means when He says, don't listen to the politics on the radio, shut it off and listen to some praise and worship music, you shut it off and you listen to the praise and worship music. That means when He says, don't talk bad about that person, that means when He says, don't gossip, that means I listen. And maybe you guys are all good. Sometimes I feel like I'm always confessing and nobody else ever does. And I feel like, man, everybody's always looking at me. They're thinking, why is Pete even up on stage? Look at how he messes up. But since I started studying this, in just the last few days, I'm even praying differently. Holy Spirit, I know You're here. I don't feel You. We're not to live by feelings, right? We're to live by faith. Holy Spirit, I know I hear Your voice. Forgive me for the times I've grieved You. Forgive me the times that I haven't walked in obedience. And please begin to really, truly guide me that I may crucify the flesh and those desires. How else do we live by the Spirit? So we ask, we read that in Luke 11, and we don't gratify the sinful nature. that's how we can begin to live by the Spirit in a new and bolder way, is to quit giving in to the flesh. John 15:4 says, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." You're struggling with this morning. You're struggling in your life. You're struggling in your walk with God. Get plugged back in. Get plugged back into the Lord. You're not going to bear good fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, all those things, you're not going to bear that in an abundance until we plug into our Heavenly Father, till we plug in to Jesus, till we plug in to His Word. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Okay, so I started off with, He's not going to leave us as orphans. I'm about to end with, He says, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." And so I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been caught off guard? Have you ever been embarrassed by someone heard you say something or someone surprised you? Like, this has happened to me before, because I'm a clean freak. I like everything perfect. But any of you know life's not always perfect, and the house isn't always perfect. And especially when the kids are little, you got toys, you got laundry, you got a mess, and you try, but it's just hard sometimes. And have you ever had someone show up at your house and it's a mess and you're like, "Oh no, they're going to see my mess." Or maybe you've been saying something at work and you shouldn't have said what you said, and someone heard, and you've hurt their feelings. You know, we've all had different times in our life that we've been caught off guard and maybe embarrassed that someone heard us, someone dropped in, someone came by. Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you." So that means He's with you. When you leave here, when you're in your struggle, when you're in your difficulty, when you're in your good time, when you're in your tree stand out there deer hunting, when you're at home in the kitchen, when you're at Walmart grocery shopping, when you're in that traffic jam, Jesus says, "I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you." So what are we leading our Lord and Savior into? What are we leading the Holy Spirit into? And I'm going to end with these verses right here, Matthew 24:42. It says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." We all know people right now that we've lost. Two more people this week. You know, last week and the week before, I was talking about all the people hurting, all the people. And, you know, the two people that we know of that's associated with this church that we lost this week, neither one of them knew it was coming. Neither one of them was expecting it. One mid-30s, one mid-40s. They're gone. You don't know. I'm not trying to be a downer, but you don't know. You don't know. "Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, I will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, 'My master is staying away a long time,' and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And I thought of this morning, and I added this in this morning, just this little bit, because I thought of how many of us are living a life of a hypocrite. We say we love Jesus, we show up to church, we open up our Bibles, we may even take some notes. But then when we leave here, we forget. And we go back to living our lives how we want to live. And we go back to the places that the Holy Spirit says don't go. And we say the things that the Holy Spirit says don't say. And we're leading Him and we're grieving Him. I don't want to be a hypocrite anymore. And, you know, it's one thing. I want to be really careful how I say this. It's one thing to sin. We have an advocate before our Father in heaven if we sin. If you've blown it this week, God will forgive you. God is there to forgive you. But it's an entirely different thing when it's a lifestyle. And you leave here and you're not changed. And you go back to your garbage of the world and you go back consuming the garbage of the world, and that's where you're finding your joy and that's where you're finding your peace. And then you're full of anger, you're full of rage, and life ain't happening, and you say, God, where are you? Look at your life. Look at your lifestyle. And that's what the hypocrite is. That's what the hypocrite is. It's not doing what the Word of God says and claiming that you do. That's the hypocrite. You stumble, you fall, you sin, you get back up and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you, and you don't do it again. Your lifestyle, you have no regard for God or the things of God or the Holy Spirit's work in your life, and you better be careful because you might be in that hypocrite's category. If y'all would, please stand. This morning I thought of a song. I don't remember singing it when I was little, but I remember singing it to my kids. And maybe I'm sure I sang it when I was little because it seems like I've always known this song. But, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. What is it? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. I don't remember it all. That's all I remember. You know, we think, oh, that's so funny. That's so silly. I remember singing that when I was little. I remember singing it to my kids when I was little. But are we not God's children? And maybe that needs to start being a song in our heart every day. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down with love. Where are you going? What are you taking in? If you've been grieving the Holy Spirit this morning, let's confess it as sin and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. And He will. That's what's so amazing about our God. He will. He loves you so much. He will forgive you. Repent. Say, I don't want that life anymore. God, take it from me. And then begin to draw. Begin to draw from the Lord. Begin to draw. Plug into Him by the Word of God, by praying, by being careful where you're going and what you're seeing and what you're feeding on. And watch and see if God will not change you, if God will not transform you, if the Holy Spirit will not lead you in a life that you never knew you could have, will give you victories in areas that you never thought that you would have victories. But we make the choice. Are we going to grieve Him or are we going to walk in victory? Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning and I pray for forgiveness. Lord, how ashamed I would be if the thoughts that I have, if the places that I go was displayed behind us. Father, I pray from this moment on that I would no longer grieve Your Holy Spirit, that You would forgive me of my sins. that You would help me walk in a new way. Lord, that I would hear Your voice. When You say, stop, don't say that. Stop, don't watch that. Stop and just listen. I would obey. That I would trust and I would know Your voice, Lord. Your Word says Your sheep know Your voice, and that we would know Your voice, and that we would know the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that how He can transform us. And those things that have got a hold of so many. Father, may this morning we lay them at Your feet. And may we not be like the hypocrites and say one thing and live another life. But may we begin to live each and every day following Your commands and seeking You out. From the morning when we wake up till we lay down at night, Father, may we seek You with every breath that's in us. So that when You come back, Lord, You will find us doing what You've called us to do, and that we will be good and faithful servants, that we may be welcomed into Your kingdom. But may we understand today, and from this moment on, we need Your Holy Spirit. We need Your Holy Spirit more than ever in this world that we live in. May we do everything we can, Father, to follow and to listen. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If anybody needs prayer this morning, if anybody needs deliverance this morning, if anybody needs a fresh fill of the Holy Spirit this morning, the altars are open. I'd love to pray with you. Listen for God's voice now.
In the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you all for being here today. Remember elders meeting, and then next Sunday the wedding shower, and the next Sunday after that baptism. Peyton is getting baptized, Jeremy and Samantha's daughter, and if anybody else would like to get baptized, you know, last time we had the baptism service, the Lord had me bring the extra swimming suits and had one extra. And I don't know, I'll wait and see if the Lord has me bring the extra swimming suits this time or not. But if you've never been baptized and you would like to, please let me know and we'll talk about it. And be a wonderful time of celebration in a couple weeks for that. And so, elders meeting, I'll try not to keep you long. Back in my office, if anybody, it's open. If anybody wants to attend, you're more than welcome to come. And so, y'all have a blessed afternoon.